The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, Perek Dalet. Fourth Perek, Mishnah Yud Zayin, in some texts it would be Mishnah Chof Aleph. Reb Yaakov Omer, Yaakov says, Ha'ilam Azeh, Deim Elepreisne, Bifnei Ha'olam Abba. This world is like a vestibule, an antechamber, the outer hall, in regards to Olam Haba, in regards to the next world. Haskein Atzmecha Bepreister, prepare yourself in the vestibule, Kedei Shetikones Letrakalin, in order that you may enter into the king's chambers. The Maral Miprag asks, why does Rabbi Yaakov have to tell us it's that this world is like an antechamber, a vestibule, the outer hall? Would be sufficient merely to tell us, Haskin Asmecha, Kedeshi Tikonis, Haskin Asmecha Ba'elamase, Kedeshi Tikonis Leilamabo. Prepare yourself in this world in order to enter into the next world. What is the moshel, what is the example, the parable, add to it? Then Rabbi Yaakov makes the second statement. Hu haya omer. He would say, Yofesh sha'achas b'tshuva u'b'maisim tovim ba'olam hazeh. 1 hour of tshuva, of repentance, and of noble deeds in this world is greater mikol chay olam haba than all of the world to come. V'yofesh sha'achas shel keiras ruach ba'olam haba, in 1 hour of joy of the spirit, bliss of the spirit in the world to come, is greater mikol chay olam hazeh. Greater than this entire whole world. Now here again, the Maral asks. First he tells me that this world is greater than the next world. And then he tells me that the great next world is greater than this world. Well, which is better? Secondly, how can you compare the two? You have to compare two things which are in a similar vein. Which is better, which is not, which is greater, which is lesser. But this world is Gashmi, this world is a physical world. The next world is a Bilti Gashmi, is a spiritual world. What's in this world is not in the next, and vice versa. So how can we compare the two together? The third question is, why does he mention tshuva? This world is 1 hour in this world of deeds, of noble deeds. Why does he have to add tshuva? 1 hour of this world, in this world of repentance. So we have all of these questions on what Rabbi Yaakov is teaching us. The explanation he writes is very deep. But first, let's speak about the simple explanation, which is also deep. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, Seif Amud Aleph. Nations of the world, when they come, La'osid Lovay, to the world, in the world to come, they come there to receive their rewards. and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them they have no reward because they did not do mitzvahs. They did not do what they were commanded in. So they say, all right, give us mitzvahs now to do. And the Almighty answers them, Shaitim Sheba'elam, great fools you are. Misha Torah be'erev Shabbos, Yechel b'Shabbos, Misha le'Torah be'erev Shabbos, me'echan ochel b'Shabbos. Someone who prepares on Friday will have what to eat on Shabbos. If someone doesn't prepare on Friday, so where does he expect to eat from on Shabbos? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the nations of the world. Now you want mitzvahs. Now it's too late. I gave you time to do mitzvahs. Now's the time when you will have your reward. And the Gemara then brings Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my deksiv, in Sefer Dvorim, Zayin, at the end of Pashas, right at the end of Pashas Vashanan. It states, Bishomarta esa mitzvah, Vesachukim, Vesamishpotim, Asher Anechem Etzavacha Hayom La'aseisom. You shall guard the mitzvah, the statutes, the laws, which I command you today to do them. Rabbi Shua ben Levi asks, what does it mean today to do them? Not tomorrow. Hayom La'aseisom, V'leila Mocha La'aseisom. Yes, today, in this world, you are commanded to do them. Not in the next world. Hayom la'aseisam, today you're commanded to do them, v'lo hayom litol schar, and you will not receive reward today. Today is the day of mitzvahs. This world is the olam ha'asiyah, the world to do, not the world to take your reward. Next world is not the world to do. That's the world of reward. This is what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is telling us. What does it mean? It means as follows. The foundation of all mitzvahs is to fulfill the will of Hashem mibechiras atzmai, through your own choice. Not being forced into it. Because if one was forced to fulfill mitzvahs, this is a golem. This is a robot. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want robots. He can make all the robots he wants. Well, this is a malach, an angel. An angel is forced to do the mitzvahs. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he wasn't interested in the... He didn't create it for the angels. He created it for men. Therefore, the foundation of all mitzvahs is to fulfill, to understand, to recognize, and to fulfill the will of Hashem through Bechiras Atzmai, through your own choice. That is possible in this world. And the foundation of all reward for mitzvahs is also through the fulfillment of the will of Hashem, through your own bechira, through your own free choice. If one would be forced to fulfill mitzvahs, so what's possible in that? Schar ve'enish, reward and punishment. A machine you cannot reward and you cannot punish. And therefore mitzvahs and reward have their place only in this world. Because Olam Hazeh, this world is known as the Alma de Shikra. It's a world of deceit. The Isgabrus HaChoshech, darkness prevails. In this world there's the Keach HaSotan. Morris says the Sotan, that is the Sotan, the Yetzohara, the Malach HaMovis. And the will of the Almighty is deeply concealed. The truth is deeply concealed in this world. And therefore, it's very difficult to recognize and to fulfill the will of Hashem. And therefore, it's the world of mitzvahs. It's the world of Bethira. It's the world where one can gain reward. Next world is known as Dolam HaEmes. There, the truth and the aura, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great. There's no darkness. And there's no Yetzer Hara. There's no place for the Yetzer Hara, and there's no place for the Satan. And therefore, there's no place for free choice. So therefore, there's no place for mitzvahs. So this world is a miyuchad set aside for mitzvahs. Hayom shmartim la'aseisim hayom b'leilam ocher. Next world doesn't have mitzvahs. The next world, there'll be reward. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov is coming along and saying that prepare yourself in this world. This is an antechamber to the great king's palace. Only in this world. What you do in this world, that you'll eat in the next world. This world is set aside for mitzvahs. The next world is set aside for reward. This is the simple meaning of what Rabbi Yaakov is teaching us. And from here, he teaches us that a person has to have a love for both worlds. Many people, some people might have a love for this world, not the next. And others, to the contrary, they hate this world. They want the next world. Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, no. You must have a love for both worlds. Because only through this world can one come to the next world. You have a great vestibule, a great antechamber, and you want to come to see the king. There's only one way you can get in to see the king. You can't come in through the back door and you can't come in through the window. You have to come in through the vestibule. There's only one way you can come to the world to come, and that's through this world. And therefore, a person must learn to love this world. And not only to love this world, but to love the darkness of this world and the difficulties of this world. Because this is the only way he can come to gain the next world. And not to say that this is a very bad world and it's a world of lies and deceit. And what do we need it for? It is only through this that one can come to the reward of the next world. And this was the way of the great tzaddikim, the great righteous people. They loved the Girui HaYetzer. This, that the Yetzer Hora would be there constantly, and the Nisoyin, the great tests. Because every Girui HaYetzer, every test, is merely an opportunity to gain greater heights and greater reward for the next world. Many times there's a lotion in the Gemara, Heiniach li mokom mishamayim lizgadlbay. Heaven has given me this opportunity. When we say an opportunity, we're not speaking about a gift that was given to you. Heaven gave me, the Gemara would quote many times, this great difficulty. This great difficulty, this great test. Be'eser nishenes nisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avraham Avinu. 10 times did HaKadosh Baruch Hu test Avraham Avinu. He gave me this great test. Because only through this would I be able to gain greater heights in the next world. It is said on the Vilna Gaon, at the time when he was dying, he started to weep. They asked him, what are you weeping for? You have such a wonderful world ahead of you. said, I'm weeping to leave this world. A tire of wealth. This is a wonderful world. How much does it cost to fulfill a mitzvah? And how much do you gain forever from that? And that's only in this world. And now I leave this opportunity. The Chofetz Chaim, Zichrein Avrocha, used to say that when people started to come to the New World, to America, they told him that in America they would say, time is money, Zeit ist Geld. He said, time is money. He would say, money is time. Time can buy you money. What is time? He says, time is life. Money can buy you life. And if you have life, every minute of life, you can buy Olam Haba. You have another opportunity to grapple with the darkness of this world and to gain the world to come. And the Medrash says, at the end of the Maaseh Bereishis of the creation, Vayara Hashem es kol asher oso, v'hinei tov mi'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What does it mean, very good? Tov, ze yetzer tov. It was good, that was the yetzer tov. Very good, ze yetzer hara. That was the yetzer hara which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. This gave, set the stage, gave the opportunity for man to be Kainer, to acquire Olam Haba, the world to come. And the Torah also. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai to take down the Torah, the angels stood by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they protested. How can you give your Torah, your great Torah, to the earthly beings? And Hashem said to Moshe, answer them. He said, what is written in the Torah? You should not serve other gods. He said, what do you need that for? You have a yetzer hara to serve other gods. What else is written? You shall not steal. What do you need that for? You don't do any business. And on. It was only because of the giroi ha-yetzer, of the constant war with the yetzer hara and the sotan, were we zelcha to the Torah? Did we merit the Torah? And therefore, if Yaakov is telling us, Yofa, it's a great world. Yofa Shoachas of Tshuva Maisim Tovim. You have in this world what you'll never find in the next world. And therefore, endear it. He's also teaching us, not like many fools think, that the great people, the Anshei Maila, those of great Madrega, they don't have to wrestle with the Yetzer Hara. They're above the Yetzer Hara. They're above all inclinations of wrong and of evil. They're malochim. Very wrong. Because if they would be, then they lost this world. They become a robot. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need robots. The fact is, they would lose all mitzvahs and schar then. Be bottled mitzvahs and schar. This is why, when someone leaves this world and you bury him, it states you're not allowed to perform mitzvahs in his presence. Because it's known as Mali Galamesim. It's as if you're scoffing at the dead people. She'ein locho od chelek b'mitzvus. Because when he leaves this world, he loses the opportunity to do more mitzvus. And it's as if the live ones say, look, we still have that opportunity. If a great person would be beyond the Yetzer Hara, and he would be beyond the darkness of the world, everything would be light to him, he has no portion in mitzvahs anymore. Not only that, but just to the contrary. The Gemara Masechta Sukkha says, "Kol agodl mechaveirei, yitzra godl emenu. Ubi yitz, ubi talmud chocham, godl mekulam." Who's ever greater than his chaver, his yitzra grows with him. And in a talmud chocham, greater than anyone. And the tzaddikim, the righteous, struggled with this darkness every minute of their lives. Not like fools believe that they were angels. Every minute of their lives they had to struggle. And this is what Shlaima Melech said in Mishlei. Yipol tzaddik sheva vekom. The tzaddik falls seven times and he gets up. What's he falling seven times for? The righteous fall. But the difference is they constantly struggled and battled and never gave up the battle, and they would constantly win and get up again. But this was a struggle every day. And then Rabbi Yaakov is telling us that this is the world of Asiya, the world where one can do action, and therefore he has to be mechavev, he has to endear it. But many times he becomes caught with battle fatigue. He gets tired. It's difficult to be at war all of the time. There was actually the Orche Sadikim brings that a person was returning from war, and he met an old sage. The sage asked him, "Where are you coming from?" He says, "I'm coming from battle. The war has ended. I'm going home." He said, "You're leaving a battle which ends, but now you're going to a war which never ends until you leave this world." So sometimes, many times, a person becomes fatigued. Therefore, he's telling you, also keep an eye to the next world. Yofeh keres ruach ba'elam habo. Yofeh shoh achas shel keres ruach ba'elam habo mikol chaya elam aseh. One little spiritual joy. Joy of the spirit. In the next world is worth more than this entire world when it comes to that joy. And then this will give a person stamina to go further. Altishoish minapronias, where he will not become hopeless. And this is what Shlaima Melech said in Keheles Mayisrin La'odem Bechol Amolei Shiyamel Tachas Hashemesh. To what value is all of the labor that a person labors beneath the sun? And the Gemara says, beneath the sun it's of no value. It's not worth it. But for what's beyond the sun, the Maisa Bereishis, what lies awaiting, yes, then it's very much worth it. And the Chofetz Chaim writes this on the Brocha, which Yaakov gave to Yisachar. Yisachar was the Shevet, was the tribe of Torah. And they had to carry the burden of Torah like the donkey, the pack animal, day and night, in hot weather and in cold weather, in rain and snow. It states in the middle of the Brocha, Vayam Anucha Ki Tov, Vesa Oretz Ki Noemo. Look at the land, it's good. And it's beautiful. Why is that in the middle of the bracha? It would give a parable. A man, a merchant in precious stones, who was wealthy, would go into the interior of Russia to buy his merchandise. But he would always travel at the height of luxury as much as possible. He went and he was spending his money. He bought what he wanted. The night before he was leaving, a man comes to his hotel. He says, "I want to show you something." And he shows him some very, very precious, some black pearls, very, very precious stones. And he looked at them and he examined them. And he said, "These are worth a fortune." He said, "I'll sell them to you." And he offered him a good price. He says, "I spent most of my money. I just have money to get back on." He says, "I have enough money to buy the stones, but I'll hardly have enough to even travel back at the lowest class." And he thinks and he decides he'll do it. When he takes his journey back, and he's not used to at all traveling such a long distance at low class and lack of comfort and difficulties and the people he had to be with, he would comfort himself by every once in a while taking out these most precious stones and looking at them, and then he would say, "It's worth it." So did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Yisachar, "You're carrying the burden of the Torah." And many times it becomes very, very heavy. Don't become despondent. Look at what is awaiting you. This is the simple meaning of what Yaakov is telling us, that this world is like a vestibule. It's a great antechamber. Before the next world. Prepare yourself in this world in order that you should enter into the chambers of the king. And then he said, "Huayyomer, 1 hour of tshuva and masim tovim, repentance and noble deeds in this world, is greater than all of the life of world to come. And 1 hour of the spiritual bliss, which is in the next world, is greater than all of this world." This would be the simple meaning, although there's much depth in it. When we say simple, it's still there's much depth. Although this doesn't answer all of the questions that we asked. Excuse me. The Maharal goes further. He said there's a deeper meaning in what he's saying. One of his questions was, what do we need the parable for? This is like an antechamber, a vestibule. The next world is the chamber of the king. You could merely say, prepare yourself in this world in order to enter into the next world. And secondly, how can you compare the... Secondly, he's saying that this world is better than the next world, and then he comes around and proves that the next world is better than this world. And thirdly, how can you compare the two worlds when they are totally unlike each other? One is physical, Gashmi, and the other spiritual, Bilti Gashmi. In order to make a comparison between two things, there has to be some similarity between them. And there's no similarity. He says, Rabbi Yaakov is not coming to compare the two worlds at all. It is true what we said. They are non-comparable. To the contrary, he's coming to tell you that they're not alike. And what is one is not in the other, and what is in the other is not here. They are not alike, and they are not separate worlds. But rather, each one is a chelek, is a part, a half of a whole. Not like people think. There are two worlds. There's this world and the next world. This world, it's got its problems. It's got its benefits. And the next world has its problems and its benefits. And now we can have a discussion. Which world is better? Now, they're not two worlds. They're totally different than each other. But each one is only a part, only a half of the other one. And together they make up a Dovah Sholem, something which is complete. And this is the parable. When you have the antechamber, the great vestibule, and when you have the king's chambers, you don't ask a question, which is better, the vestibule or the king's chambers? Totally different. The vestibule, the waiting hall, is made for people to come, and people wait there, and they prepare themselves, and they wait till the king calls them in. And the great chambers of the king, that's for the king. Don't compare them. But not only that, one needs the other. A king's chambers must have a vestibule. It can't be built right out in the street. And the whole purpose of the vestibule is to come into the king's chambers. So they're not two separate entities. And there's not a discussion which is better than the other. Each one is part of a one. And both are needed. But each one serves an entirely different objective. And actually, the greater the king, the greater the vestibule he's going to have. You don't build just like if someone has a beautiful reception hall. He doesn't build where it goes right into the street. If you come into a little second-class hotel, that's a little lobby. You come in to a magnificent hotel in Paris. It'll have a lobby and a foyer. That's the free fondue. That should be for it. And to say this, he says, is a proven fact right from the situation. Because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu testified on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas HaHazino, HaTzur Tomim Po'olai. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is perfect. If that's the case, we have a good kasha. Good question. How could he make a world like this? This world has so many imperfections. This world has so much problems. So much sorrows. So much confusion. So much deceit. How could this come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, let's say a king designed the great palace. And in this great palace was this great vestibule. And a fool comes along and he looks at it in its own right. And he says, well, what is its purpose? What's it for? This is the beginning and end for. How could a king make such a thing? Shait a fool. The king made it together with his palace. And the same thing vice versa. The palace was made with the vestibule. Of course this world is an imperfect world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world together with the Olam Haba. And the Olam Haba he made together with the Olam Hazeh. And together it's a perfect world. Not separate. And it's... there are two different purposes. The prosder, the vestibule, serves the purpose of the vestibule. And the traklin, the great hall of the king, or the chambers, that serves the purpose of the great hall. Each one by itself is very, very faulty. Together it's a dovah sholem. Together it's purpose. Together it's perfect. Now, let's analyze the purposes. The vestibule is compared to the derech. person wants to come and have a presence with the king. So he goes. This is the derech. This is the journey. And in the vestibule he prepares. The king's chamber is the trakalim. That's the destination, the objective. Now, in essence, there's a great difference between the two. Total difference. Between the derech and the tachlis. The journey and the destination, the objective. Because when a person goes on the derech, in essence, that's tiltul, Mora says tiltul hagavro, tiltul, tenua, tirdo. He's journeying, constantly moving. There is no rest on a journey. And even when someone rests, you sleep over, that's only that's only so he can carry on his journey the next morning. And therefore, when one is on the derech, the very nature and the essence of the journey is contrary to menucha. Constant movement. Uvelech techov aderech, the Torah says. When you're on the journey, you're moving. Even if you took off a day or two and you're resting up, you're still moving. Because that's only so you should move further. And the Gemara always refers to pirdas aderech, torud b'derech. A person cannot rest on the derech. If he rests on the derech, he's not a good traveler. Because when he travels, he's got to have his motive as traveling, as moving. Constant moving. This is derech. To the contrary, when he reaches his destination, there is question, he can't move anymore. Where is he going to move to? He's come to where he wants to move. The nature of the destination is noch. He stops. Noch means menucha. He stops and he's there. Now, actually, this is the same nature of Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is a day to prepare for Shabbos. If a person is occupied with preparation, he can't rest. Even if he's resting, it's only so he could carry on with his preparation, or say he'll be rested for Shabbos. So the essence is constant halicha, v'halachto b'derech. It's a halicha, going, tenua, moving. Shabbos is just the opposite. Shabbos is where you eat the fruits of that preparation. You've come to your destination. To the contrary, Shabbos is not allowed to prepare for Sunday. So Erev Shabbos is the constant movement. Mora refers to movement as Akira. Shabbos is Anocha. You stop. And the Gemara says, Eilam Azeh Deimel Erev Shabbos. This world is like Erev Shabbos. Olam Abba is like Shabbos. This world is the derech, is the journey. Olam Abba, the next world, that's Shabbos, that's the destination. This world is the prosder. The man came, he's making great preparations, he's coming to see the great king. The king has allowed him to come. So he's coming, and he's coming closer. And he's making all of his preparations. And it's the tikkun. He presents himself. He fixes his begodim, his garments, He prepares for what he has to say. But whatever he does, it's all betaris hachono. It's all preparation. Preparation for what? For entering into the Tshakalan. Once he's in the Tshakalan, can't prepare anymore. That's in the past. He's there. Now he's reached it. And therefore he gives us now, is the vestibule better? Is the journey better than the destination? Or is the destination better than the journey? It's all one picture. Together there's the journey and the destination. And this is what Rabbi Yaakov is saying. And this is why he's telling us the parable. Now, this world is the journey. It's a time for preparation, constant preparation. Now, the Maral says there are two things which relate themselves to Gashmi, to physical, to the physical world, which cannot be found in the spiritual world. What are those two? There are two principles. Firstly, change, shinui. This world is a world of constant change. What does that mean? We are in constant flux in this world. We are never the same. The world's never the same. If you'll give a little attention to the nature of the world, you'll see the nature of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it with the Shemesh and the Kechovim and the Mazoles. Shemesh, the Yareach, the Kechovim, the Mazoles. He created it with the sun and the moon and the stars, the entire solar system. Solar system never stops. If it stops, we're in trouble. Constantly moves. Never stops. The entire physical world never sleeps. Never stops. Nothing stops. And therefore this is known as the Olam HaShinui, the Olam HaZman. It's the world which is Tachas HaZman, which is prevailed by time. No man can free himself from time unless he can rise beyond the solar system, but not tachas hashemesh, like Shlomo HaMelech said, not beneath the sun, unless he'd be able to stop the solar system. Even when man sleeps, billions of cells are constantly working. And this is why, many times, the Gemara will use the expression, Ein loch odom shein lesho, there's no man that will not have his hour. Or Hashom is achekaslay. The hour is showing, is smiling at you. Because what happens in 1 hour, won't necessarily happen in the next hour, and vice versa. Constantly. And it states, the Chazal tell us, never say that this is forever or this won't happen. It might. It's the Olam HaShinui. That's the nature of the physical world. The physical world is part and parcel of time and movement that goes into the very heart of the creation of the physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Gagalim, all of the celestial beings that constantly move. That's one principle that we find in the physical world. A second principle that we find in the physical world is that everything that was created is not created in its ultimate, but is rather only created in its potential. And because of that, it constantly needs. If you ever stop to think, you'll see that the second doesn't go by when we are not reaching out to take something for ourselves that we need. Not only does man keep eating every day, and not only does he eat three times a day, and not only does he drink water all of the time, but every second he's breathing in oxygen. Every second he's breathing, he's taking, all of the time. Why is that? Because he wasn't created in a state of total perfection where he doesn't need anything. He was created in everything in this world. He was created where they constantly, only in a state of potentiality, where they constantly need more, and they seek. Nature of man, the nature of all creation, where it will seek, it will fight, it will go to the ends of the world to fulfill those needs, all through the species. And until it satisfies itself, only to find, though, that that satisfaction is only temporary, and again it will need, where it seeks to perfect itself. And this is the growth. A plant starts with a seed. Many species start with an egg. This is the nature of the physical world. The spiritual world, to the contrary. Spiritual world has no movement. There's no time. The Gemara calls it Arichas Yomim, Yom Shekula Oruch. It's a day which has no beginning. It's a day which has no present. It's a day which has no future. Because there is no movement of time. It's eternity. The Gemara says also there's no growth there. Because everything is perfect. If everything would be perfect, this means that a person doesn't need anymore. If he doesn't need anymore, he's not going to go further. These two principles are part and parcel of the physical world. Shinui and movement, constant change, and constant growth, the seeking to fulfill further needs all the time where we continue to grow, and to the spiritual world, they're totally alien. And in this way, it's very similar to the journey and the destination. When a person is on a journey, he's constantly seeking his destination. That's the purpose of the journey. The whole purpose of the journey is to seek. So he constantly seeks the destination, and he constantly moves. Once he reaches the destination, there's no room for seeking anymore. He's already there. The conductor on the train tells you, you're here, get off the train. And he's found his destination. He has what he wants. Until it's time to move on again. And this is the same with Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Erev Shabbos was made to prepare for Shabbos. So it's constantly seeking to prepare. Well, Shabbos is Noch. Now, this the Maral explains why Rabbi Yaakov mentions Yofer Shoachas Sel Tshuva U'Masim Tovim. The Tshuva and Masim Tovim in this world, 1 hour is greater than everything else of the next world has to offer. Because Tshuva, what is the essence of Tshuva? The essence of Tshuva is simply change. Shuv. You go back. Change. In this world it's possible change. In the next world it's not. This world that we can constantly are moving. We're constantly under change. Therefore we can change in this world. The next world there's no change. What the person is, that's what he is, and that's what he always will be. He's beyond change. And therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says, this world has the ability of change, which the next world will be beyond. And Ma'asim Tovim, what are Ma'asim Tovim? The Gemara says, we know what the physical growth of a person is. That we know. He eats, he drinks, man, animal, plant, he grows. What is the spiritual growth of physical man in this world? Ma'asim Tovim, his deeds. It says, Ela toldes Noach. These are the generations. These are the children of Noach. Noach is tzadik tomim hoya bedorosot. Noach was a very righteous, perfect man in his generation. Sages asked, you're telling me about his children, his generations, and you're telling me he was a righteous man? That's his generations, that's his growth, that's his fruit. Just as a tree comes to fruition and it grows, man comes to fruition through deeds of goodness, noble deeds, his mitzvahs. So there's growth. And man constantly needs growth and he seeks growth. Rabbi Yaakov says, that you only find on the journey, where you're seeking. In other words, when you travel, concentrate on traveling. Because once you reach a destination, you can concentrate, there won't be any more traveling. When you're in this world, he says, concentrate on change. Because once you reach your destination, there's no change anymore. Concentrate on growth. Because once you reach your destination, there's no growth anymore. Yofe sho'achas ba'olam hazeh shel tshuva u'maisim tovim. That 1 hour of tshuva and maisim tovim in this world has more than the whole world, next world has to offer in this vein. It can't offer that. And then, Rabbi Yaakov tells us, but on the other hand, Yofe Shoach Shel Keiras Ruach, the bliss that is brought to the Ruach of the person. He mentions Ruach. The Ruach is the Nefesh, the spirit of man. That it has to offer is worth more than everything here. Because that's the manucha. That's the manucha, the peace of being noch. And that's not found in this world. How can someone be at peace on a journey? Mora says the journey in essence is contrary, is the antithesis to peace. The Gemara, when someone would die, a sage would die, the Gemara would say, Noch nafshe. He's at peace, he's at rest. This world is no rest. Even when we rest, it's only to refurbish our energies so we can go further. See, even the resting is letzeirech haderech, to go further. When can one rest? Only when the job is totally finished. That's in the next world. That brings peace, the bliss. There a person can experience a bliss which is worth more than this entire world has to offer in that vein, because this world cannot offer it. And the Gemara tells us we have a little taste of it. When? On Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Abba. Friday, How can you experience menucha? It's almost Shabbos. How can you experience menucha? It's preparation. It's the journey. Shabbos, bar Shabbos, bar menucha, bar shalom. There you can experience, it says, a degree of what it means, shalom and menucha. No, that's what the next world is. So Rabbi Yaakov is telling us, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create two worlds. Just like a king, he builds a palace. It's not, he didn't build in one building is a whole vestibule, and the other building is his palace. No. Each world is a part of the other. Otherwise, each one would be totally imperfect. Together they make perfection. One is the derech, the journey, and the other is the destination. The journey has to offer what the destination cannot, and the destination has to offer what the journey cannot. So therefore, a person must use it to the maximum. Therefore, haskein es atzmecha bepreisder. Prepare yourself in this world, which is the entry chamber, the journey, kedei shetikones letrakalin, in order that you should be able to enter into the king's chamber. And the journey has to offer what the palace cannot. And that is the growth, the seeking, the preparation, the tshuva, the maisim tovim, the change, and the fruits of a person. Growth, while the destination cannot. You come to the destination, the traveling is finished, the change is finished, and the growth is finished. Because everything is perfect. If everything is perfect, if a person was perfect, how could he eat more? How could he want more? How could he grow more? This is what Rabbi Yaakov is telling us. Now, in this, the Maral asks a good question. He says, why does he say that there, where there's the ultimate keras ruach, the bliss of the spirit, he says that's what the next world has to offer, but this world has something better to offer, and that's the tshuva and maisim tovim. He says, actually, he says, I would say that the next world has to offer something better. And that's that level that one has attained from this world. So, maybe in the sum total that's better. Good, this world is the opportunity. But the destination and the objective is the next world. So I would say the objective, after all, is what we're all here. What is the purpose? So that should be better on all fronts. If someone is traveling halfway across the world to reach a certain spot, good, the journey has what to offer. But it's all for the purpose of the destination. So the net sum should be the destination is even better. So we should say, but good work in this world, but that you will attain in the next world, that outweighs everything. He said he should have said that. And unless he says a very great chidush, something very novel, he says not so. The pursual of a goal has more to offer than even the attainment of a goal. Listen closely. The pursual of a goal has more to offer than even the attainment of a goal. When a person labors, this is in everything. Let's first discuss, say it here in regards to Torah and mitzvahs. When a person labors for greater heights in Torah, and ultimately he reaches that height, the pursuit of that goal was greater than the attainment, the actual attainment of the goal. Because the laboring for it, the wanting of it, the reaching of it, will bring him in a degree closer to Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu than he'll be after he attains that goal and he rests from it. Now someone might say, but this doesn't make sense. No, we find this in the entire nature. That the pursuit and the need for something really has a greater effect on the person than the actual capture and the resting and the relaxation of it. I'll give you an example by animals. Once visited a park which had captured lions. And these lions would be fed every day. Truck would come once a day or whenever it was. They'd throw big chunks of sides of meat into the park. And the lions would be fed. And to me, the lions looked like they were Eber Bottle. They were over the hill. So I asked the owner, you usually take lions that they're ready to shoot. No. He says, these are all healthy lions, very good lions. In fact, there's even at cubs there that grow up there. So he says, why do they look so lethargic? No interest in life, laying around. Why did it look so lethargic? He didn't answer me. Then one day I'm reading a story, and this was by a photographer. The photographer who went with a herd of lions for weeks and weeks and weeks. He became so much part and parcel of the whole group that they didn't even take notice of him anymore. And he took all kind of pictures and so forth. And he studied them. And he said, what did he find out? He says, basically, their whole life evolves around the hunt, and then at the mating season, to mate. That's their whole life. They'll roam. They need a lot of room. They'll hunt, they'll eat, it'll satisfy them for a couple of days, but immediately they'll start roaming again. That's their whole life. This is the pursuit, this is the hunt. You take that away from them, you've taken their life away from them. They have nothing to live for anymore. You would think, why not? I'll feed you three times a day. They have nothing to live for. They took their life away from them. People who have lived enormously active lives find the same problem. They found these problems when they brought soldiers back from the Second World War, I remember. Brought back soldiers from the Second World War. They were serving in Europe, they were serving in the Orient, in Japan and whatnot. They were so happy to get back. Oy, a hot bath, clean clothes, not living in foxholes, not hearing all the shelling. Relax. And they had big problems of depression. After 3, 4, 5 days, once physically they got back, they didn't know what to do with themselves. You had taken the pursuit away from them, the hunt. Athletes have this problem. that once they're too old to compete. They themselves don't know what the problem is, but they have the problem. They say they miss the excitement, they miss the competition. They're missing the pursuit. And pensioners, retired people have this problem. I've worked 60, 70 years. I've reached the golden years. I'll travel now. I'll spend time with my grandchildren. Now I can enjoy life. How many of them did they tell you? I can't take it. If they do, it's downhill usually. Many will say, what am I going to sit home and look at the walls? When a person pursues something that he needs, that pursuit is the greatest connection. Once he attains it, he has it. Good, he has it. But now he'll find a certain emptiness. Yeah, he has it. Good. Wonderful. And then he looks for something else to pursue. The mountain climber will pursue the top of the mountain. But what happens once he reaches it? Rest up a bit and then look for a higher mountain to climb. This is the nature of man. And therefore, that's what this world has to offer. This world has to offer a greater level than the next world cannot give. Yofi Shoachas Shel Tshuva Maisim Tovim Ba'ilam Azeh. It can offer you the pursuit. The next world can only offer you the attainment. In many ways, the pursuit is higher than the attainment. And he brings a Gemara on this tomorrow. Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis says, Omer Rabbeisi. Rabbeisi says, Yehi Chelki Im Hamesim B'Derech Mitzvah. He said, I hope that my portion will be with those who die on the way, when they were on the way to perform a mitzvah. Everybody asks, what does he mean? My hope is that I shall have my portion with those who will die when they are going to perform a mitzvah. That's not a brocha. That's a curse. Because he didn't do the mitzvah, he died before. Had he lived another couple minutes or hours or days, he would have died after the mitzvah, he would have had another mitzvah. He was not zeicher to do the mitzvah. What does he mean? Yehi chelki im ha-meisim b'derech mitzvah. My portion should be with those who die on the way to do a mitzvah. He's saying because on the way to do a mitzvah, you have a greater level than even after the attainment of doing the mitzvah. And that's how he wanted to leave this world. So this is what Rabbi Yaakov is teaching us. And this is very important. Because Atzur Tamim Po'olei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's works is perfect. This world is imperfect from a million different sides. Yes. Because this world is only part of his works. The entire picture is this world with the next world. And together they make a Dove Sholem, something which is total and perfect. This world, Rabbi Yaakov says, he says, is Devil Apraister. This is the way to the palace, to the end. This is the antechamber. Bifnei Olam Abba, in the world to come, that's the king's chambers. Askinatz Mechop Apraister Kidei Shetikonis Letrakalet. And therefore, use this world for what its purpose is, in order that you will be presented in good form to the king. And this world has what to offer that you can only get here and no other place. And that's tshuva, change, and growth, maisim tovim. In the next world, there's no change and there's no maisim tovim. Aye, but this world will offer the ma'asim tovim, the mitzvahs, but the next world will offer the level of the attainment of the mitzvahs? No. Next world can only give you attainment. This can give you the pursuit of it. The pursuit of it is greater. While the next world can give you, will give you what this world can. This world is the derech, the journey. There's no rest on the journey. The next world will give you the anocha, the rest, and the shalom, the keres ruach, which is greater than anything else the world has to offer. May we all be zeicha to aksiva v'chasima tova, all be written in the sifre achaim, in the books of life, of brocha, and all be zeicha to mitzvahs, the pursuit of mitzvahs, this world and to the world to come. L'chol Beis Yisrael. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.